Hey, got the morning show with Erin. I want to welcome Selena Coombs and Jackie Tymaner to the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Kia ora.
So on Saturday night at the Rag and Club, 8 o'clock, going to be Wildfire, a showcase of women comedians. And Jackie, well, Selena, first of all, you're a local comedian.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
So great. And Jackie, you're organising the events?
That's right, yes. So based in Hamilton.
Cool. And do you want to tell us just what it is? What does that mean, showcase of women comedians? Who's coming? That sort of thing.
Right. Well, we're gathering up the best women's voices that we can in comedy in the local region and Auckland.
Yeah, okay.
Surrounding regions. And we gather together. This is not the first time we've done an all-women's show, but we gather together. We support each other in what we're doing in our craft and also, put on a great show for the audience that's, you know, got a little specialised flavour.
Okay. And why a women's only show?
Because women aren't well represented in the comedy scene. We don't have as many top comedians. We don't have as many comedians in general. So, and we think it's a good idea to put on a supportive show and with a group of people that you kind of get to know for women. That sort of seems to work better for us. And just provide that sort of safe environment to grow in our craft. Yeah.
And Selena, I didn't know you did comedy, so are you relatively new to the game?
Yes, I didn't know I did it either. I usually do improv, actually, which is a lot easier because you just say whatever pops into your head. So, doing stand-up is definitely a challenge, and I guess it's good to, like, push yourself out of your comfort zone sometimes. And, it's storytelling as well, so I have some funny stories of things that have happened in my life.
So that's your style is storytelling, not a stream of wisecracks.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Jackie, what's your style?
Well, I write comedy songs, so I work in my stand-up routine around that. Like, I usually start with a few songs, do a bit of a stand-up routine just talking, and then finish up with a song or two.
Okay. Yeah. And for the other comedians, because there's 8 overall, is there a variety of styles? Is a style even a thing you use, a word you use?
Well, kind of, but you're probably getting more into influences, I'd say.
Yeah.
You know, we have Summer Jha from Auckland. She's amazing, and she's a Chinese comic.
Okay.
She even organises bilingual shows up in Auckland with Chinese-speaking
really?
Comedians. Yeah, which is fabulous.
That's a little bit mind-blowing. So she's funny in 2 languages.
Yeah, I know, right?
That could be challenging. I mean, you can be accidentally funny in your second language, but that's not really what she's going to be doing, I presume.
Well, you know, it's one of those things where you can't talk too much about these comedians because you might give away their opening lines,
Okay, fair enough. All right, we'll just let people be surprised.
But, you know, what I'm trying to sort of show is that we've got a reflection of a range of backgrounds and different age groups.
Okay.
Yeah, as well represented, so.
And someone with the name Loud Jess, which is not recognising many of the names. That was a name that stood out to me.
Amazing, eh? Yep, Loud Jess. Her real name's Jess Loudon, so she's been clever there with
really?
Twist on,
okay.
You know? Yeah,
yeah.
But,
yeah.
She's awesome. Her and Sandra Pace have got their own show coming up in the International Comedy Festival called Yeah Na Pavlova, where they sort of probably debate the origins of, among other things.
That's a very New Zealand name for a show.
Isn't it?
Yeah. So, okay, so it goes for 2 hours and there's 8 people, so it is... you've got a running order. We probably don't mind what the running order is.
Yeah.
Who's on last, though?
Me.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I know. I'm organising it.
You're organising it.
Good day.
Yeah.
Well. But it's mostly because I'm the one doing the musical. Nobody else in this group is doing that. And it's good to end on that note. Plus, I'm going to debut a new song that I've written called Don't Mess With The Boganess. And I'd like to end on that. And one of the comedians, Kat Clark, is also a jazz singer, an amazing jazz singer. So her and I are going to sort of do some harmonies on that. She's going to hop up with me and probably do some egg shakers and just, end on a good note.
Okay. Yeah. And now, this is kind of a technical question. If the jokes aren't going well, can you save yourself through the music? This is what I'm wondering.
Possibly. I haven't looked at it like that, actually, but I would say that my songs are something dependable for me, so I kind of have a little bit more confidence when I go into my set that I know at least a couple of things are going to hit well, and then if there's some other, say, new material that I'm not sure about, I can kind of attach it to that, and then it's just go for gold and hope for the best.
So sometimes when I think about comedy and doing comedy, like, there's the sheer terror of of it not, like, I will never go and do it. The terror of failing on stage in front of a group of people. How do you guys deal with that?
Yeah.
Or do you not want to think about it? Do not think about it, and I shouldn't have raised the question.
Oh, no, we do.
Thanks for that, Aaron.
What do you think, Selena?
I guess for me, the performance side of it, I'm not scared of, because I've done a lot of that for years.
Yeah.
But it's more the memorising it. And that is terrifying for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same.
And what do you do? I guess you just kind of just keep going. You know, like any kind of performer, if you're a musician and you make a mistake, you don't just stop and go, oh, my God.
You just got to
okay, and pick it up and keep going. Yeah. Or you might be like, laugh at yourself, and then everyone else will laugh at you as well.
That's kind of like the wisest way to deal with it. It happened once in Rotorua. I was doing a show, and it was the first time ever that I finished one of my comedy songs, and absolutely nobody responded. Not a clap, not anything.
Silence.
It was. Oh my gosh. So then I just obviously moved on to the next thing, didn't make a comment. But you could turn it into something. You could say, oh, okay, what, you know, none of you have got ears, or, you know, did I hit the wrong note? Was somebody offended? You know, you could sort of turn it into something. But, yeah, okay. It can happen, but you do move on.
I must admit, I always have a question I ask comedians, because it seems to be great material, is if you have a worst gig story. And the first time I asked this question, a comedian said that someone pulled a knife on him.
Oh, okay.
Because they didn't, because he was making jokes about Huntley, and they were from Huntley.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah,
yes,
he wasn't in Huntley. Like, wasn't a crowd from Huntley. He was somewhere else.
Yes, Huntley always gets picked on. Yep.
Yeah, and I thought that was the best worst gig story I'd ever heard. Do you have a worst gig story? That
I think my Rotorua falling flat with a comedy song that usually hits well was probably my biggest kind of...
Did they laugh at other things?
Yeah, they did laugh at other things during my set. So, you know, I just... maybe it caught them by surprise. I don't know. Maybe they were in
the... You never actually worked out why they didn't like that
one? No, I didn't. But actually, that can be a thing you can do with a fail. You know, if something has gone horribly wrong, you can start dissecting it to figure out why and what you might do next time. And a lot of it is a game of who's in the audience and do they kind of agree with your philosophies, basically.
Okay.
Because, you know, if they do, you're going to get lots of whoops and yahoos and happy people. And if they totally don't agree with the way you look at the world, they'll just find you a bit strange. And
do you mentally shelve a few jokes sometimes? You think, oh, I'm...
Something for that kind of person.
Yeah, something
for that crowd. Kind of, yeah. Well, yeah, sort of.
Adapting. I mean, it must be challenging to adapt in the middle of it when you've probably got everything planned out beautifully.
Well, yeah, that's another skill, actually, isn't it? And that's where these improv people like Selena have got it over us, sort of stand-up people that kind of rely on having it all set out beforehand, and we've either memorised or we've got a few cue cards handy. But, yeah, Selena's more the kind of jump-in, spontaneous.
Oh, no, but I've been rehearsing this one.
So. Oh, this one, yeah, like, I don't expect it this time, but
it's a change. I'll be like, oh my God, what do I do?
No. So, is there anyone who does like interaction with the crowd or crowd work?
Yeah, we all do. And I'm emceeing, so I'm going to be starting that off early on. And most comedians have an element of it in there, even if it's just a question that they've asked.
Right, The reason I ask that is I've seen a lot of that online at the moment. And I know the world's algorithms deliver specialist things to everyone, so no one sees all the same stuff, but I have seen a lot of people doing crowd work online, and
I mean, that can be a whole thing for some people. That could be that, you know, their whole performance could be interactive, and there might not be a lot of their own kind of stuff that they've sort of pre-thought of, but we do a little bit just to keep everyone, you know, on board and engaged, you know, so they don't fall asleep.
Yeah.
We wouldn't want that. That's not a good
reaction.
Heaven
help us. I want to ask if that's ever happened, but I shouldn't
probably
ask.
Probably has.
I think the audience that come to comedy quite often want to get involved. You know, you get the hecklers.
Yeah.
And so if you're doing the comedy, the audience participation, you're kind of giving them that opportunity to feel like they're a part of it, and hopefully they won't heckle you.
But if they do, you're a comedian and you know how to deal with that because you've got the mic.
So you've just made me realise that there's people turn up especially to heckle, especially to try to break you. Is that actually what happens?
Yeah, well, they just have a few drinks, and that's just their nature is to just go, rah, 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 rah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, true that. Yeah, but I can't say that I've noticed a problem in the last year or so since I've been doing shows around here, like in Hamilton and so on.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty well-trained crowd, I think, you know.
Actually, but with the political climate and the way everything is at the moment, I'd actually expect there to be more hecklers than average.
You know what there is people voting with their feet. They either will leave if a comedian has offended them in some way, or they haven't hit enough funny bones and it's ended up like a political speech. Or
actually, that's the very New Zealand thing to do, isn't it? Just
I'm out, yeah.
Yeah. Don't say anything.
I'm done. Yeah. Just quietly exit, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so that's kind of more likely.
Mm. Keeping with serious topics, it's an all-woman show, and I know talking to people in the music industry that it's still not totally a level playing field for women there. What is it like in the comedy scene for women, and is there a need for support and all that kind of thing?
Well, there's some fantastic groups on Facebook, actually, that are very open, sharing, good sort of like places to let people know what you're doing. People like to show up to each other's shows and give support offer out complimentary tickets to other comedians. So actually, I think we've got quite a good support, and even our local groups are really awesome. So I think it's flourishing.
Yeah. I'm just curious to know if you've had to face stuff from men at all, like the stories I'm hearing.
The trouble is, whether to put it down to that or is it some other reason, you know?
Not me personally, but I do have a friend she's from the UK. She was here a few years ago and she was starting out, and she said that she found it really quite daunting and not supportive and a bit of a boys' club.
I've
heard other stories like that, but when I was like, oh, okay, I'll give it a go, and I came to the Navarra Lounge and with my set, and Jackie was just so amazing and supportive and encouraging, and just because I was like, oh, I don't know if I'll ever do that again. She's like, no, keep going, like, you can do it. And nice, the environment that Jackie's created and the opportunities that she's providing is awesome.
Oh, thank you. So there we go. I'm part of the answer. Equalising.
That sounds good. I mean, I imagine you want to feel settled and reassured when you go on. It's nervous enough anyway.
It is. It's an emotional roller coaster ride. It really is.
Yeah. And I imagine on a good night, like, you're really in the zone and everything's flowing.
Amazing. And then you can't really wind down afterwards and you're sort of still up going over your jokes again. Oh, I missed that one word that would have made that a bit funnier or else you're just like, you're on a high and still laughing at your own jokes 2 or 3 hours later.
Or you get people coming up to you afterwards, saying one of your lines back at you.
Okay. That's very flattering. Yeah.
So that's the challenge, like, especially the first time when you're so nervous and you want to get to that place, but sometimes the nerves, I don't know what it's like. Like I say, I would have too many nerves, I wouldn't even start.
Public speaking is well known to be one of a human great fear, the greatest fears, public speaking. So to overcome that, I also have seen documentaries saying that rich people need to have public speaking skills. It's like one of the main common attributes between super wealthy people is that they can do public seminars and so on and speak and say their truth or their message well in that way.
So rich people are always getting... Are they all get training? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying that it's a skill and that, like, if you've got that skill, then you're kind of like... You might be kind of more in the company of rich...
Oh, you're on the way.
Rich people, you're on the way.
There's hope for me yet.
Yeah, there is. You see? There is.
I wasn't expecting to go down this angle. What I do want is advice for beginners, advice for people who think they'd like to try, hearing me saying how nervous I might be and think they might be like that too. Right.
Well, it's only 6 minutes. You've got to get your first 6 minutes together.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah. Oh, that sounds easier.
It does, doesn't it? But then actually sometimes a minute can be a long time on stage.
Unbelievable how much work goes into 6 minutes. But I guess having just started, I would just say just start writing.
True, yes. Get your thoughts
get it
down.
Out of your head and then go over it and go, oh, yeah, okay. Just keep editing it and...
Have you practiced with someone else, like audience?
Yeah, a couple of people. Yeah,
yeah.
I record mine and just kind of like play it to myself in the car or that sort of thing.
Because your stuff is it all songs that you do?
No, it's not.
But a lot of it,
it's spoken as well. So, but I have to listen to that, to myself, to my actual jokes and delivery, and mental notes.
Listen to it a week later and see if it catches you by surprise. Or
maybe not. When it's done, it's done. I don't really look back. I'm not someone who likes to video myself and watch it. I find that really hard.
I did that for because I've only done two shows before.
Yeah.
But I didn't watch them for a few weeks.
Yeah.
But I was courage. But I did learn quite a bit watching them.
Once you do.
Yeah, I must admit, like when I get new DJs, we have lots of volunteer DJs, and I always insist that they listen to their shows to start with.
Right.
And every now and again, forever after that as well. Just
because
they're the ones that know what they're trying to do, and so I could give feedback, but it might not be along the right angle that they want. You know, I don't know what they're trying to achieve.
Right, so. Right. You've got to sort of self-define.
Self-criticism is really important. Yeah. So, Jackie, how did you get into it anyway?
Well, I was in Christchurch doing covers music with my ex-husband in a duo.
Yeah.
And, like, I started coming up with a few kind of funny-ish songs, so then we kind of slot them in. And then I started seeking out opportunities just to do to work in a bit of stand-up around that, and just kind of like went along to an open mic in Christchurch. But the thing was, before too long, I found myself in a group with people who are big stars now, like Rhys Darby and Grant Lobbin, who's Damon on Shortland Street, a whole lot of people that just did really well. But also Scott Blanks, who runs the Classic Comedy Club in Auckland, had a group of comedians come down from Auckland, and they were doing a tour. So I got invited onto that tour, basically, and I just did a show in Dunedin with them.
Okay.
But that was Brendan Lovegrove, Johnny Bruff, who's Deacon on What We Do in the Shadow.
Yeah.
You know, Te Reira and a whole lot of other people who have done wonderful things. So that's still my friends, basically. And like I ended up, you know, as women do, pregnant with twins and, battling with the relationships and things like that. And, you know, trying to get myself a career in teaching, which I've done.
Yeah.
It's in the past now, though.
So are you full-time with the comedy then?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I don't get like paid full-time or anything, but because it's my passion and something that I want to do and something I want to do well, I'm happy to devote the time and resources into it, for sure.
That's a question. I always ask that question to musicians because New Zealand is so small that trying to make a career out of things like that is always challenging. But then again, there's always more musicians than there are places to play. So.
Well, true. But you find your niche. I think that's what I'm looking for. I can't say I've necessarily found it yet, but I have put sort of feelers out around to sort of maybe get my own night somewhere in a bar where I can do a bit of everything. Kind of the me show, just drop everyone else. And all about me.
6 minutes. Imagine doing a whole hour.
It's easy when you've got a few songs, so this is where that comes in. But also, I think I've been doing it for a long time. That was the 90s I was talking about down in Christchurch.
Okay,
so
that's
quite a few years ago now. But I haven't filled the whole time up in between doing comedy. But I have been writing down good ideas that have come to me or good songs that have come along the way. Like I've got one called Letter to Sifs, you know, things like that. Like in my real life, I was a solo mother of twins in Addington, Christchurch. And, you know, and Sifs was in my life at that time. So I made sure I made it like a little record of that by jotting down a little ditty. Yeah,
getting some comedy around SIFs might be quite a nice idea, I think.
Well, you know, these are tough topics, some of them, and I think comedy can help just shine that light maybe into the darkness a little bit.
So are there topics that women comedians cover that men don't? I guess there's a few obvious ones, but is it different in any particular way?
I think so, just having, you know, experienced kind of a little bit of the boy club kind of vibe from other people, other comedians and other shows around. I think the boys like to try to be a bit more edgy and like to shock laugh sort of thing, and horror, more the genre of horror comedy sometimes, you know. And not afraid to go into toilet humor, dad jokes, that sort of thing. And I think women are just that, sorry, but a little bit more sophisticated in the way we approach things, what we've got to talk about. And of course, you know, it doesn't hurt to go with the obvious thing of like, and do a little bit of, you know, have a few digs at the opposite sex, because you're kind of you might as well, this is your opportunity sort of thing.
I see that playing well.
Yes.
What about influences for you guys? Do you have comedians growing up or famous comedians now even that you look to for inspiration? No? Okay.
Well, yeah. Okay.
Quite a few. I have a really bad memory though, but to remember names of people. But
like the guy was in that
movie. That guy. Yeah, I did watch. Was it Jimmy Carr on Netflix recently?
Right. So if you want an edgy guy,
he's well known.
Yeah. He's now, some of the funniest stuff he does is he announces that he's got a very bad obscene joke coming up.
Yeah.
And but the audience will get through it. He does things like that now as part of his act.
Yeah.
That's smart. That's a good way of handling handling things before they happen.
The first half of that show was quite intense. I was like, whoa. And then he kind of rectified it in the end by by doing the audience interaction. But it was all about consent after doing like a whole bunch of like really kind of horrific jokes that were like, whoa.
Yeah. Confronting.
And he, he totally kind of rectified it by, focusing on consent, but doing it so cleverly,
Yeah, he's actually a really smart guy. I've seen him interviewed.
Yes, me too,
just
recently.
Straight. And, yes. And,
I got a lot of notes out of his last interview that I watched.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was brilliant, actually. He's the one who made me think more about, like, how comedy teaches you to fail. It teaches you to fail well, which therefore leads you to kind of success. Because once you can cope with failing and it's not, you know, the end of the world and you can see, oh, yeah, but if I just kind of did that, then that wouldn't happen again, you know, next time.
Yeah, and
you're on the path to succeeding.
Got anyone else, Jackie, you want to mention?
I like the Australian ones like Cap and Kim and like things that used to be on TV, you know, probably 20 years ago now. The Comedy Company, they had Marianne Fahey, who used to do She Gays, Kylie Mole.
I remember that when I was, I think I was a teenager, late 80s, early 90s.
Look, that was a good time because we also had the young ones. Oh, my God, Rowan Atkinson and all those lot with Blackadder. That was a fabulous time. I love British comedy. But it could be partly because I was adopted by an English farmer. It could be because we just in New Zealand got a lot of BBC material, didn't we? Main source.
Yeah, that was pretty much what our TV station was for a while, our one TV station when we were little. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, folks, we're talking to Jackie Taumana and Selena Coombs, going to be doing the Wildfire Women's Comedian Showcase at Raglan Club, 8 o'clock till 10 on Saturday. Six other women comedians. Jackie, we've got a song of yours, and we need to play it now because we're going to run out of time in the show otherwise. So do you want to tell us what this is about?
Yes, the song's called I'm Your Chick, and it's my answer to Leonard Cohen's I'm Your Man.
Okay, and that's enough? That's all we need to know?
Yeah, it's in a swing sort of style, like a rock and roll-y kind of a feel.
Okay, all right. Let's play it now.
If you want a glamour queen in the morning, I'll slap on Lippy for you. If you want a homely clinging vine, I'll wear my slippies for you. If you want a washer to wash your clothes, cause you still don't know how to use a machine, you lazy prick, I'm your chick. If you want a mother to iron your shirts, I'll get your creases out. If you want a business manager too, I'll sort your leases out. If you want a lemon honey drink, or you just need the gun cleared from the sink, well, that's my trick, I'm your chick. Well, I'm not that bright, but I'll do you right. I'll never stray from your side. I'll let you stay out late and I'll bring a plate, whatever you decide. I'll bake for you, baby, all your favorite treats. I'll turn on the telly while you put up your feet. I'll sleep in the wet patch, clean up the sheets and act thick, cause I'm your chick. If you wanna lie in bed all day, I'll keep the kids quiet for you. If you wanna entertain your mates, I'll be right for you. If you want your teeth at 5:30, or you just want a place to hide that income, or your chick, I'm your chick. If you want leather chains and whips, I'll slap and rip for you. A grip for you. If you want a bride to wear your name, or you just want to sit and watch the game, just take your pick, I'm your chick, I'm your chick.
Hey, you got the morning show with Aaron. That's I'm Your Chick by Jackie Taimana. Jackie, now that we've played this on the radio, are you going to play it in the show?
I wasn't planning on it, actually, because I've got so many other songs and I just want to do these other ones. And I've got some parody snippets where I take a song that already exists and change the words.
Okay.
So I've got a few of those. I've got a new one.
Have you? Good, good. So, folks, we're pretty much out of time. Is there some? Do you want to sum up what's happening tonight to encourage people to come along?
Tomorrow night.
Saturday night.
Well, super great, awesome energy, you know.
Yeah.
Lots of love, lots of laughs. There's a bar. So, yeah. You know, we can't go wrong. We're going to have a fabulous night. Please do come on down, Raglan.
Okay, awesome. And Selena, your first show in Raglan?
Yes.
Yeah, you got a supportive audience coming along?
Yes. I work at Raglan Area School, so there's quite a few of the teachers are coming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, teachers always need a laugh.
Yeah.
Yes, I think.
And so, when are you on?
I'm in the middle.
You're in the middle. Yeah. So around about 9 o'clock. Is it a tight ship, Jackie? Everything happens on time?
Actually, no, I'm more at the...
Jackie's now looking for her set list.
Yeah. Oh, you're third. You're third
yes.
on.
Oh, yes. So don't be late.
Yeah. Yes. 8:25.
Just turn up on time, folks, please.
Yes. Yeah. Get there early because there's a restaurant there as well. You can play some pool.
Yeah.
Have a kai. That'd be great.
Yeah, cool. Awesome. All right. Thank you heaps for coming in this morning.